welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday. To get you through this crisis in a world where few things feel reliable, we remain reliable. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. We only have an hour left to do it. We're going to dive into the shock resignation of the chief of Seattle police. The chairman of the Washington State GOP is going to stop by to tell us how all this craziness in Seattle will end up impacting the statewide election. Plus, simple request, stop parking on the shoulders of highways. We're going to get into that and so much more this hour of the Jason Rand Show, brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best announced last night that she is, in fact, stepping down. A black female police chief in a white male-dominated profession, driven out by an outrageous and rather vindictive Seattle City Council. A council that, when it comes to almost every aspect of how they run this city and envision this city, is pushing us down a road that we're not going to be able to make it back from. I truly believe that. If there isn't course correction soon, this city is truly doomed. From a public safety perspective, from a business perspective, from just simply being in a good place to live, a quality of life issue, we are almost too far gone. 100 officers are going to be let go in the coming weeks. They're going to end the navigation team, which helps address the homelessness crisis. The SWAT team is going to lose resources. And when you call 911, you're not going to get the service that you expect. How do I know? Because you already don't get the service that you expect. Not through any fault of the Seattle Police Department. They are understaffed, and they are about to get even more understaffed. A city of this size should have way more than 1,350 or 1,400 officers. They should have double that. And yet here we are, a year and a half after recruiting more and more police officers to try to join this depleted force. The Seattle City Council is now saying, because a bunch of woke activists threatened them, they're saying we're going to fire 100, and that's just the start. And for Chief Carmen Best, she said earlier today in announcing this resignation that just went too far. That just went too far.
This is not about the money, and it certainly isn't about, you know, the demonstrators. I mean, be real, I have a lot thicker skin than that. It really is about the overarching lack of respect for the officers, the men and women who work so hard day in and day out. And honestly, the idea of letting, after we worked so incredibly hard to make sure that our department was diverse, that reflects the community that we serve, to just turn that all on a dime and hack it off without having a plan in place to move forward, it's highly distressful for me. And I really, you know, it goes against my principles and my conviction. And I really couldn't do it. I mean, I honestly was very reflective about it. But that, I mean, I care about other people, and that was really hard for me.
She cares about other people. Remember, they also not just cut her salary, but they cut the salary of her command staff. She called it vindictive. Now, what she just said there, is any of that unreasonable? Is criticizing the council for not having a plan, is that unreasonable? Saying that when you're going to make these kinds of cuts and you're going to force these cuts on us, you should have a clue as to what you're going to do to address all of the consequences. We've had this conversation on the show before, where it seems that this council is expecting whatever it is that they're going to do to 100% work, and not just work, but immediately work. Immediately work. We're going to give another community organization some more cash. It's going to go to immediately addressing the underlying causes of the violence, of homelessness, of poverty. Now, of course, in the past, they haven't been able to deliver those kinds of results, have they? Not even a little bit. But this time, they will. Only this time, they're putting our lives on the line. Our safety on the line. Literally. by cutting 100 police officers. There are people right now who won't go into downtown Seattle because they are terrified. Terrified of what it has become. And if you want a real eye-opening experience, if you're brave, maybe do this in your car. Drive through Pioneer Square at any point in the day or evening. On a Monday at 2 p.m. or a Saturday at 9 p.m. Go through Pioneer Square and tell me if you even recognize this city anymore. Tell me if this is the city you want to be known for. If this is the city that you used to love. I defy you. Defy you. To go out there and tell me you're comfortable with what this whole area has become. You have a council that seems hell-bent on completely transforming the city, and it doesn't seem like they've got our well-being in mind. It seems like they've got blinders on, ideological blinders, that are causing them to go down this path. Now, in a case like Shama Sawant, she's been open about wanting to dismantle our very system of governance, of our economy, so she can install socialist policies. She's being open about the destruction she wants to cause, but I can't figure it out with someone like Andrew Lewis or Dan Strauss or Lisa Herbold. I don't understand why they would put us down this path without seeing what it seems that everybody else is seeing. And yes, almost everybody else. How many more polls do we need to go through in order to hear very loud and clear that the people here don't want this plan? We are being ignored. And so is the chief. She was asked during her announcement today whether or not, at least in the coming 3 weeks before her official exit, she will continue to have talks with this council about policing.
Continue would not be the right question because we never started the dialogue. So I would say now I'm turning it over to Chief Diaz. It's his role. But I love the city. I love the department so much. Anything that would help make things better, of course, I would do whatever I could on that end.
They're not even talking to her. They never started the conversation. They're making changes to policing without including the police. To put that in a different perspective, let's go down the Seattle level. This is like changing bike infrastructure without talking to the militant bike community. They would never do anything like that because they know they would come up with plans that don't make a whole lot of sense. But when you have a council filled with people who think they know better than everybody else, this is what they do. This is what they do. And if you think the council is done with their activism, think again. They're only just getting started. And do you really think they're going to stop at defunding the police by 50%? You think they're going to stop? This council wants to abolish the department as we know it. They're pretty open about that. And whether that means a new way of calling 911 and getting social workers to the naked dude who's running up and down the street who will overpower that social worker who's not going to be able to defend themselves or not. Whatever we're looking at, they want to abolish the police as we currently know it. And they're using what happened in Minneapolis as justification. What happened in Minneapolis did not happen in Seattle. I know that there are a lot of activists within the community that want to pretend that we've had our own versions of George Floyd's, and they will point to Sean Furr. He was shot and killed by police. What they don't tell you is that prior to being shot and killed by police, he was abusing his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend for hours, shot a gun in a park, and abducted her child. They don't tell you that when they march for Sean Furr. They say Charlena Lyles was murdered, but they don't tell you that Charlena Lyles called 911, made a phony phone call claiming that she was the victim of a robbery. When the officers got there, she pulled a knife, advanced on them, and tried to kill them. They don't fit that into their talking points and their bumper stickers. They've been waiting, these activists, for their opportunity to transform this city even more than they already have. And they saw what happened in Minneapolis, and they took advantage of it. And I have to say something as a Seattleite, someone who actually lives in the city. Unlike a lot of people who talk about Seattle, I live here. We get the government we deserve. Seattle got the government it deserves. That's the case for every community. Bellevue, they get the government they deserve, and it just so happens right now they deserve a really, really fine government and a great police force. Everett, Tacoma, Spanaway, Olympia, you all get the government you deserve. In Seattle, we're going to have to live with these deadly consequences. But I have to say, the men and the women of the Seattle Police Department, boy, do they deserve so much better. They deserve so much better than what they're getting. But unfortunately, what they're going to get is a layoff notice. Adrian Diaz is going to be the interim chief. We're not going to get a new police chief, not anytime soon, because who in the world would want to work here? He spoke earlier today about having to lay off officers.
I've got to move the department forward. These are going to be rough times, and I think laying off anybody with they've got family, kids, it's going to be a hard time, but we've got to move this forward. We've got to reimagine public safety. We've got to, you know, provide, you know, community safety and a safe and healthy community. So, you know, right now, that's what my commitment is. We will have to make very tough decisions. We have the right command staff that is available to really sit down and figure out what it's thoughtful and how we can move this forward. And we also have to remember that for the city council, that while they can propose certain positions being cut out of certain units, ultimately it does fall on the chief of police. And so, you know, those are the things that we're going to have to evaluate moving forward.
Yeah, you think you're going to win that? Chief Diaz, with all due respect, he's a friend of the show. He's been on before. I like him. He's not going to win this battle. He's not going to win this battle until the people start to speak up and push back in a more meaningful way. I hope that this serves as a wake-up call, what happened in the last 24 hours. Because what did we see before that? Normally, when you riot, when you vandalize buildings, when you commit arson against government property, when you try to murder cops, you go to jail. But in Seattle, you are rewarded. You are given time. You are given influence. I don't think it's controversial to condemn Antifa. I don't think it's controversial to condemn violence from agitators. Normal people do that all the time. They see someone burning down property and say, that's wrong. You should be punished. Not in Seattle. Not with a council that seems to support the violence, the implied threats, the general chaos, because it helps forward their own political agenda. Because I think it's how these council members imagine they're going to stay in power. Placating the city's most fringe activists. Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda, she defended a man who threatened to murder cops. She called it justified. Andrew Lewis downplayed his two colleagues being threatened with physical violence by a mob if they didn't vote the way that they wanted to. Lisa Herbold pushed through a racist plan to fire cops for the crime of being white. Dan Strauss helped create CHOP, the site of two murders, two black teenagers murdered. Socialist Shama Sawan and Tammy Morales, they cheer on the anti-capitalist rioter. So what if a few businesses, including one, by the way, owned by an immigrant, who cares if they get destroyed or damaged in the process of installing socialism? Alex Peterson, Deborah Juarez, who knows what they're doing? They're always missing in action. They seldom take a consistent stance, and they really, really, really love sending mixed messages, maybe for some political cover. And then you got Lorena Gonzalez, who struggles to understand very basic concepts in policing. And as a result of this vote, the crime is going to continue to spiral. We're having a surge in gun violence. Homelessness and addiction is going to get worse. It's already getting worse. And this entire city, speaking of worse, will be worse for it. We brought this on ourselves. We brought this on ourselves. Seattle voters should have known that ideologues in office would pursue something this crazy, something this reckless. And so again, even though I am a Seattle resident who doesn't want to move, we got the exact government that we deserved. And I fear that Seattle is going to suffer some significant consequences, consequences so severe that it forever sends a message to never vote people like this into office again. And obviously, the end result of that is something I want. The end result of a city that says, you know what? We've gone too far. We can't repeat our mistakes. We can't do this again. We're going to fix this mess. That's a good end result. But think about all the chaos and destruction and violence and death that might come along with that. The path to dealing with these consequences and learning from these consequences is going to be painful. It's going to be terrifying. It could have all been avoided, but it wasn't. The voters had the opportunity to put people into office who were moderate Democrats. They weren't conservatives. They were moderate Democrats. And they said no. They said no. We like being known as a progressive city. Do you like being known as a progressive city with an increase in crime? With homelessness that's now literally across the street from you? Are you proud to be a city that drove out one of the nation's only black female police chiefs in this country's history? Do you like being known for that? Because now you're known for that. Now we are known for that. And this shame that we've brought to the city gets extended to the entire region. God bless my friends in Bellevue. But you're too close to Seattle not to get impacted by our stench. God bless the folks who say, you know what, I live in Bothell and we really appreciate the police. People are not going to hear that message of appreciation over the nonsense coming from the city of Seattle. And in all of this, it's the police officers who I feel bad for. The men and women who are about to be out of a job, one they took to serve this community. They're the real victims in all of this. There will be victims who are Seattle citizens. That's unfortunate, but that's a reality. But right now, the victims are the police officers who said, you know what? I'm going to serve my community. I'm going to put my own life on the line in service of others. I'm going to wear that uniform each and every day, knowing that when I leave for a shift, either early in the morning or late at night, I might not return home to see my wife or husband or kids or family or friends or loved ones again. They took on that risk to be treated like garbage by a council that doesn't just disrespect what they do. They don't understand what police officers do. Unfortunately, right now, many officers feel like their community doesn't care for them. I can't say that I blame them. With few exceptions, I think they're right. The few exceptions are you and me. You and I. We care. We care about these officers. We showed up to that pro-police rally last Sunday. We were there. We outnumbered the Antifa goons. We didn't take their bait when they burned that American flag. We showed up despite knowing there could potentially be violence because we care deeply about the men and women who serve not just in Seattle, but all across the state of Washington and all across the country. But right now, there are officers who are not hearing from us. And I want you to reflect over just the course of the next few minutes, because we're about to talk to a police officer, a friend of mine, Sergio Garcia, who I imagine isn't feeling very loved right now. I want you to think about what you can do, what your family can do, what your community can do to stand up for police officers and let them know that you support them. And I don't have an answer for you. I don't know the answer to that. I know what I'm doing. I'm lucky I have a radio show. I have a Twitter following that's rather large. I have a Facebook presence. I get to do this and put out these messages. So for me, it's really easy. And I know it's not easy for all of you. But if right now you're not doing anything, literally anything you do, anything you decide you can do is going to help. Because right now there are a lot of officers with low morale. And that kills me inside. When we come back, we're going to talk with Sergio Garcia, Seattle Patrol officer. He's speaking as a community member. And he's going to take us through his reaction to the events of the last 24 hours. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. The Seattle City Council just passed a historic budget cut yesterday. It's going to lead to the near immediate termination of up to 100 officers. It would end the navigation team, which addresses homelessness. A few hours later, Chief Carmen Best calls it quits. Joining me on the line to react is a friend of the show. He's here not as a patrol officer, but as a community member, although he is a patrol officer with the Seattle Police Department, former city council candidate Sergio Garcia. Officer Garcia, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jason. I appreciate it.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty of what the council did, what's your reaction to Chief Carmen Best retiring, resigning?
I think I'm devastated. I don't think I am. I'm devastated. I think in time, I chose to move out here to Seattle for a couple of reasons, and one of them was for the agency, for the achievement that she made and her administration had made, for accountability, transparency, and just the oversight. And coming here and, you know, being a person of color myself and coming to a place that is not as diverse as where I'm originally from, it was a great feeling working for somebody who did truly believe in equality, that truly believed in the police department and building a better department for the community. So with her leaving, I think it's a setback. I think that we're losing a lot of steps forward that we've taken. And it leaves a lot of uncertainty, right? What are we achieving out of all this?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm extremely devastated. I think she's a great leader. The community loves her. The officers love her. A total loss for the agency, but most importantly for the community. I'm first a resident before anything, and as a resident, I can tell you that I am totally bothered by the move.
Well, a lot of people are obviously shocked, though no one seems to blame Chief Best for making this decision. Yesterday, the Seattle City Council made some historic cuts. It seemed pretty clear they weren't listening to the community, but they were listening to a small group of angry activists. What do those cuts mean for policing and safety?
They're huge, right? Any little cut makes a difference. And I think the most concerning part is making cuts without really having a plan as to what is going to replace what we're losing. And where is that money going to go, right? In a city where, you and I have had this conversation before, in a city where there's a lack of accountability for government and elected officials, here we are giving them more money to what? What are we losing, right? And that's a big question. I think it's a big hit. If you look at some of the things that are being affected is the navigation team. And I know that's a very touchy subject in the city. But, these are services that were being provided to our homeless community. I think that I've always thought that there's always more that the city could do to get and assist people off the street and provide more services. But they played a very important role in some of the more dangerous encampments that have popped up through the city. They would get the training, and they had the correct relationships with other departments and other nonprofits. to get assistance and to kind of address these issues when they get off the hand. You know, most of the police department doesn't have that training, doesn't have those connections, doesn't have that experience, doesn't know the people out on the street who are suffering, where this unit had those connections, had to build that foundation, right? So what do we replace that with, right? What's the plan? What do we do? And that's the most concerning part to me, is just a reaction with no plan.
Well, yeah, there very clearly isn't a plan. There's a lot of talking points and bumper stickers being put out there, but I haven't heard anything concrete coming from this council to address homelessness, for example, when you get rid of the navigation team, or choosing to get rid of school resource officers if, God forbid, there's ever something that happens at a school in which we need a quicker response than what would be, you know, what the city would be capable of under an understaffed SPD. Do you feel that this council truly understands what policing is all about?
Absolutely not. I think that not only city council, I think as the community, right now there's people have been drawn, the attention has been drawn to just policing nationally, and rightfully so. I think that certain things that are happening around the nation are to be concerned. But I think that we need to learn more what's going on here locally, right? And what has our police department been able to achieve, and where are we moving forward as an organization? And I think the city council has no idea on how the police department works. Not too long ago, they were talking about a 50% budget cut. And just look how things have changed. And I think that they've dug themselves in this ditch that now they're having a hard time kind of achieving any positive change.
Yeah.
So it's turned into a witch hunt, right? I mean, they've made kind of like what Deborah Huara said. They're basically cashing a check with no funds. So they made a ton of promises and that they can't necessarily achieve. And now it's become a witch hunt, right? Now they're going after administration. They're eliminating what they could eliminate, but without having any plan. I think that's reckless as an elected official who should have what's in the best interest of the community, right? Whether you agree or disagree with something, they should have an educated approach on these things. And I think it's reckless.
If you're just joining me, I'm talking with Sergio Garcia. He is a Seattle police officer. He's speaking here as a community member. He's a former city council candidate. We're talking about Chief Carmen Best calling it quits just hours after the Seattle City Council decided to enact some rather historic cuts to the SPD budget. As Sergio has said many times, there's no actual plan in place now that they've made these cuts. Why do you think we've gotten to this point?
You know, the lack of communication, the lack of transparency, the lack of compromise, the lack of agreeing to disagree. I mean, a lot of things have gotten us here, right? I think that we've had it. Again, rightfully so, have had a very emotional reaction to a lot of things that are going on a national level and even locally. But I think that it's a lack of leadership, right? And I think as Chief Best puts in her letter of resignation, retirement, I think that she is truly one of the leaders in this community. And I think it's a lack of leadership, right? A lack of stepping up and saying, hey, we agree with you, this is wrong, and we're going to sit down and give us some time, give us a couple of days, and we're going to draft up something reasonable and something positive to achieve the change that we want. So I think it's a lack of leadership, a lack of standing up for what is right. You know, it really comes down to that. I think that they're going with a very small group of individuals who are pushing for extreme change. And at the end of the day, we're all in this together, right? Whether we disagree on certain topics, we all live in this city, and our elected officials are supposed to represent everybody.
Well, and it's especially just annoying because Dan Strauss, who is one of the candidates that you ran against, he ended up becoming a Seattle City Council member. He, during Seattle Police Officer Guild town hall, said that he supports more police officers, not less. Same thing with Andrew Lewis, who represents South Lake Union in downtown Seattle, and same with Lisa Herbel. They all took positions saying we want more cops, and now they've moved to decimate the police force.
It's a lack of leadership, Jason, right? It's whatever voice is the loudest in the room that day is what people are going to go with, right? And you know, I think this is tied into a bigger issue. You know, even at a national level, local, state, county, we keep on electing the same type of individuals, expecting a different outcome, right? And when these are individuals aren't the ones that are directly affected by the things that affect us as residents, us as people, working class and the homeless, we're never going to see that change that we want, right? Whatever it is that we believe in, we keep on electing the same type of politician who just goes with the flow and just goes with whatever it is.
So that, do we deserve this? But you know? Sergio, do you think essentially that we deserve this? I've got a blog up right now that basically makes the point. Seattle gets what it deserves because we keep doing what you just said, which is putting the same people in office over and over and over again and then acting shocked that they do the things that we knew they would do.
Yeah. You know, I don't like to, you know, blame anybody. I think this, I'm hoping that this serves us as an experience on a learning experience and maybe, having a higher turnout rate, when these elections are up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have two council seats up coming up here, next year. And the mayor's race, right? So I think it's a really good time for people who, you know, keep in mind, Jason, I agree with a lot of these things that are being said, right? We definitely have to fund more mental illness, you know, outreach, and there's certain things that we shouldn't be doing. I'm totally on board with all that. But at the end of the day, we need leadership in this city, and I think that as community members, we truly need to educate ourselves and not just hear what one candidate is saying, you know, two or three words that we like. And without really reading the fine print in the bottom, right? And diving in and picking somebody for who they are and trusting that person as a leader to make the right choices for us, right? So that's not happening right now. So,
do you feel supported as an officer in the city right now?
I do not. I don't. You know, and it's not. Again, I feel more of a community member. I don't feel supported as a community member. As a person of color, I feel like I kind of, my voice has been left out. You know, I see some of these protests and it's just, I feel like they're not in tune with the everyday person in this city. So as a community member, I don't feel supported. I, you know, somebody has moved here, first generation American, you know, you've heard my stories a ton of times, you know, parents who migrated here, you know, my dad didn't wear underwear till he was 16. I love using that because that shows the struggle that my family has gone through. And I feel like we're not being represented in this whole thing. We've never really been represented in this city. But yeah, I do not feel represented.
Are you going to continue to be a Seattle police officer?
I don't know what's happening. You know, it is something else to keep in mind is that this was for the 2020 budget, right? So our fiscal year in the city starts in October. So this whole thing is going to amp up right back again next month when talks start in order to balance the new budget for the new fiscal year. So I don't know if I'm going to have a job. I mean, I essentially moved here. I moved here because I wanted to be here. I moved here and I chose to come here to SPD for various reasons. I don't want to leave. Hopefully have a job and I'll continue here and I'll continue to fight the good fight, kind of like my dad did when he came to this country. And I have no intentions of moving unless I get forced out. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, hopefully it doesn't come to that. You're a great cop. You're a phenomenal community member, and you're a good friend. So we wish you the best of luck. I know you were there on Sunday at the pro-police rally. I hope you realize there are way more of us than there are of the activists, even if the council wants to pretend otherwise. We've been talking with Officer Sergio Garcia. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me. Have a nice day.
You appreciate as well. It. Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to check in with the statewide elections. Caleb Heimlich's going to stop by, Washington State GOP chairman, right after this on The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. So, craziness in Seattle, nothing new, but how will this impact some of the statewide elections? Joining me on the line with his take is Caleb Heimlich. He is the Washington State GOP chairman, the pride of Puyallup. Welcome back to the show, Caleb.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks, Jason.
So Seattle City Council ends up cutting the budget in a historic way for the SPD. Chief Carmen Best steps aside. How does this impact the statewide races?
Well, first of all, it's a huge loss for the city of Seattle. I mean, it just shows how far out to left field the Seattle City Council is as they're cutting 100 police officer jobs, cutting their chief's salary, and chasing off a good leader that was actually trying to navigate this incredibly difficult situation. But I think the message that sends to voters of Washington State is if you don't want this abject failure of one-party rule that we see in Seattle to spread, then you need to vote Republican. And so I think it is a boost to our legislative efforts, to our statewide efforts, just really drawing that clear contrast between the left agenda that we see clearly in Seattle and what we want for our communities, what we want for our state. And so I think it's a sharp, stark contrast, and it helps helps us get people to vote Republican.
What makes you think this is the time that the voters start to change their tune? Because obviously we've seen craziness come out of the Seattle City Council in the past.
I think one piece of evidence I would point to is this primary. We had a primary last Tuesday. The turnout in the primary was the highest we have had in a primary in over 60 years. We had over 52% of people were voting, and in those ballots, we are competitive in statewide races, and we are on track to gain seats in the state house, to potentially gain a seat in the state senate, to flip the 8th congressional district with Jesse Jensen, a very strong candidate who's got a great opportunity. Right now, more people are voting for Republicans than Kim Schreier and her Democrat opponent. And Maya Espinosa for OSPI. I mean, the incumbent Chris Reichdahl was all the way down at 40%. So I think we had incredibly high turnout, record high turnout, and we're seeing positive results for Republicans that I think shows that this year, the craziness of Seattle is unavoidable. It's everywhere. You turn on your TV and there are police cars burning, there's rioting, there's looting, there's protesters marching on freeways, and then you see in the news, oh, they just voted 7-1 to fire 100 police officers and reduce the number of law enforcement keeping the community safe. So it's unavoidable for voters, and I think it's getting people to say, enough is enough. Like, I'm standing up, I'm voting for Republicans to bring some common sense to Olympia and to Washington, D.C.
Do you think the media is doing a good enough job covering these issues and the context in which they're being made? In other words, do you see them fairly talking about the riots and the looting in addition to the peaceful protests? Do you see them doing enough to highlight the unemployment scandal that the governor doesn't want to talk about?
No, I mean, absolutely not. If this was a Republican governor, the unemployment scandal would have been front page above the fold every day and twice on Sunday, and it would have been leading on every TV coverage. And so, I mean, even now we're seeing the stories coming out that Senator Ann Rivers has exposed what was really happening inside the unemployment insurance department, that it was gross negligence on the part of a senior employee who made the decision, let's suspend some of these fraud controls that allowed all of this to take place. I mean, just gross incompetence on behalf of the Inslee administration. But even when it comes to the situation in Seattle, the media is not pressing Governor Jay Inslee on this. He has still not commented on a defund the police movement because he doesn't want to criticize the riots and the protesters, because that's the left-wing base of the Democratic Party. He needs those voters, and the media hasn't pressured Governor Inslee, Bob Ferguson, Kim Schreier to answer questions about, well, do you support defunding the police? Do you support people rioting and looting at stores? And they're not condemning that. They're not speaking out. And I think it's up to the media to really hold them accountable, because these are their voters that are destroying a city.
When you see Washington 8 and the numbers coming in the way that they are, Kim Schreier doing just so poorly overall when you compare it to the Republican numbers, it seems pretty clear that she was a one-off, right? I mean, that Washington 8, which is Bonnie Lake and Issaquah, Clee Ellum, Sammamish, like, this should be a red district.
Well, I think I would like it to be a red district. I think the numbers show it is definitively a purple district, and we are, I think that is reverting to the mean, and that's what we're seeing right now with the results, about 49% voting for Republicans, about 47.5% voting for Democrats, and 3% voting for independents. So it's certainly a competitive district, but you're absolutely right. There's no question 2018, the Democrats had the wins at their backs. They benefited from some of that momentum. It's kind of classically what happens in American politics. The party that wins the White House 2 years later has a rough election. And so now we're seeing a little bit of a normalization, and the Democrats don't have the momentum that they had 2 years ago. And that momentum really carried Kim Schreier into that seat. I think what we're seeing in these results are she hasn't done anything. I mean, in the last nearly 2 years in Congress, what has she accomplished? Besides voting with Nancy Pelosi 100% of the time and voting with AOC, I think it's 95, 96% of the time. She hasn't done anything for the district. She hasn't done anything for the people of Washington State. She hasn't spoken out. She hasn't been a leader. The Democrat playbook is you get elected and you basically hide for 2 years, and then you hope you get reelected, and then you're in office for as long as you want to be there. Look at Adam Smith, look at Susan DelBene, look at Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell. That's kind of what they do in Washington State, is you just lay low and don't do anything. And Kim is following that playbook right now, and it's not working, thankfully, because the voters are paying attention and are voting for someone that's actually going to stand up for the district.
Yeah, and of note, you actually got Kim Schreier's name correct when Tina Podlodowski, the Washington State Democratic chairwoman on Q13, called Kim Schreier by a different name and also called her Dr. Wyman. So there you go. We've been talking with... Well, go ahead, wrap it up.
I was going to say, I think that just shows the lack of name ID she has in the district.
Yeah, and of course, she couldn't come up with anything she's actually done. We've been talking with Caleb Heimlich from the Washington State GOP. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You've been listening to The Jason Rancho. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro.